E, really? Flexible?
Right. Mm. You're right, Frank. That, well, that's what I think.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, flexibility in that sense is very good.
Yeah.
But you'd be surprised in the name of what people use the term flexibility. I've heard it used to justify the most wishy-washy behavior imaginable, sometimes very distressing.
F. L. Flexibility has A. B. A. Bad. No, a base. Basic? A base. Flexibility has a base. And A. B. A. C. K. Backbone.
Right. All right, brother. Yeah. Boy, you know something? That's good. I like talking to somebody who got a damn brain. It's so sad. You know, you go to work, you do this, you do that. And so much of human activity, I don't like to use the snotty term as biological activity, but it really is kind of, you know, there's not a lot of, people don't think very much, you know, just kind of react by, not intuition, but habit, you know, so sad.
That is how, what they want us to be.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And when you say they, you're talking about the powers that be. And I, yeah. You know something? I want to ask you. Well, there's a couple of things I wanted to talk to you about. Maybe we could integrate them into our discussion.
Yes. S. Shoot.
Well, one, I was reading about a group called the Prometheus Radio Project, and they're a group of people that help communities get low power FM licenses so that they can't just arbitrarily shut down our little mini transmitters and close down our little community radio stations that are currently unlicensed. And I'm thinking, you know, oh, by the way, there's going to be a grassroots radio conference. Do you know about this?
No.
Oh, you should. And I not only...
They and... Never tell him anything.
Well, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Because I think it would be very interesting. And I think people there would be very interested in meeting you. There's going to be 200 grassroots radio activists from around the country. And they're going to gather in Western Massachusetts. I'm very sorry. I forgot the name of the city.
My... One of my S.T.O. stomping grounds.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, all right, I'll just make sure to call you and leave the details. But let me give you the overarching thing. See, this grassroots conference has been going on now for a number of years. And I think that we have to start paying attention. We who are advocates of, you know, community radio have to start paying attention when people start coming together. Mm. People surprised me and came together against that damn FCC and defeated them. That's why Michael Powell, the son of colon cancer Powell, is out because of the pressure generated by the American people against all of this deregulation of the airwaves, which allow creeps or companies like Clear Channel, for instance, to own 2,000 or 1,200, some ridiculous amount of stations example, they own six stations in this, what they call a market area. You know, but what they mean by that is, like, let's say the nine counties, they own six radio stations. The law used to read that you could not own more than one radio station. And if you owned a radio station, you couldn't own the newspaper.
Mm.
And if you owned the radio, you know, you couldn't own the newspaper or the television. Mm. They tried to keep that separate. Well, this guy Murdoch is troubled, real trouble. He's got Comcast. He's got DirecTV, which is one of the dish services. I mean, I don't know what he owes. He owns so much, it's hard to even imagine. You know, I don't have a list. We need to come together on this thing. This is becoming practical because they just changed the law so that communities can get licenses. So right now, who are they giving the licenses to? Bunch of fucking churches. Excuse me. Bunch of churches. No, and I think that that's not good. I think
you can say fucking.
Oh.
You can.
Okay, no, I don't, you know, want to corrupt the, you know, the results or whatever. But the point I'm trying to get at is this: I try to discipline myself a little bit, Frank, because I'm not tell you why, because I do use bad words and all of that. But I found that some people, every once in a while, you get some person that's real religious or something like that, and what you want them to hear is the argument and not get caught up in the fact that you use a bad word. That's why I try to keep a tab on that. But anyway, what do you think about that prospect of uniting, of trying to get people to cooperate, to get a legal license to broadcast for, you know, some of the people that's been doing it for years around here?
Why? I think get a license is a bad idea. I think getting a license is a bad idea. B, because it gives them power, meaning the people in power. Power, so, yeah.
Okay.
To say what you can or cannot do.
I don't think that's accurate. I'm going to tell you why. Once you get the license, they can't take the license away because they don't like your content. The only way they can take the license away is if you say a bad word or you know, like that kind of, yes, there are rules, but let me tell you, they're having a discussion right now because they rejected the rules that the FCC came up with, and these three senators are actually soliciting participation for people, but see, it's like August 8th. You have to hand them in, you have to hand in your suggestions by August 8th. Nobody knows about this stuff. How do you participate if you don't know? Has it been on the news? No. You know, but just know that August 8th is the deadline for handing in suggestions as or critiques as to the rules that the FCC proposed for this low power station. See, license, it's not a romantic question to me. To me, it's a practical question. I've been shut down twice. They shut us down Free Radio Berkeley once, and then they shut us down. This is the third time I personally have been a part of a radio collective that's been shut down. Mm. December 11, 2002, they shut us down, and then end of June, they shut us down. That's problematic. I think if we get licenses to, the biggest problem is to create a stable community organization that's not here today and gone tomorrow. See? I'm very happy that you guys are still around, to tell you the truth. And I don't know exactly what it is, friendship, bond, whatever, it's working, and it's real good.
A, yes. We, L, O, L, I L U V lover is in the seventh year. We're in the seventh year.
That's very good. Yeah. That's very good. Actually, I've been, we had been doing our low power transmissions for roughly pretty close to 10 years now. Because we started with Dunifer and Free Radio Berkeley around 94, 95. So that's about roughly. But I don't know. See, me, on one level, I could care less about a license myself. I don't have a lot of respect or fear of the government. But I want to tell you, this is a fact, Frank, whether you like it or not. The last time they shut us down, when they came with the, what do they call these, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms guys in these jumpsuits with these automatic weapons in the FCC, and I think they had a couple of Oakland cops. It scared people, man. I may look at it and just,
E. Well, what you could do is have the S T U studio on L I N online and have someone have your T R A transmitter K no L I L O located at a different place.
That's what they're talking about. That's a technical matter. Hold on. Wait a minute. Well, actually, we do have technical problems because we are planning to go back on the air through a mobile unit. That is, we're just going to have a little car battery, transmitter, a little mixer, a small tape, and a CD player and a microphone. And we're going to go on the air like that. Just, you know, to kind of...
But you can have a GFU full studio and the COMM community at one location, WHI, which is LE legal. Then, if you have the transmission happening from someplace else.
That's exactly what Captain and them are talking about. I'll say again, I'm open, always open to learn, but I don't know specifically how that's going to work out. That's something they want to try.
It is it J U just T A takes what this something along what we have here L a laptop to get the F E E the feed F R from the S stereo
from the streaming
from site. The streaming site.
Yeah. You done lost me already. All right.
Right. So yeah, from the streaming site. So you mean like you have your studio?
You have your studio with a computer and all the.
And it's going out onto the internet.
That's
then you have
go
somebody.
And do their shows. So yeah. On the internet first live, and then somebody's over. The transmitter's in another place.
Another location altogether. Mm-hmm. And all they have there is a laptop that's hooked up to the internet, and they're just listening to your what you're putting
and
out.
And putting,
you're putting
it
out to the community.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no like legal connection. They're just somebody there with their laptop.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. And I'm
so if they come in, all they got is a laptop
and the
transmitter
and the antenna.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, I'm for it. All right. Yeah. But understand this. Americans are great when it comes to the technological this and that, and yes, we should take advantage of technology. But what I'm talking about is not a technological problem. See, because what the American people did last year to the FCC wasn't no technological. That was some old time coming together against the government. That's what is fundamental. If people, you can have the fanciest gizmos and gadgets in the world, and if people don't respect each other, respect themselves, and have some idea of what they want to accomplish,
yes,
it's hard to get stuff done, you know?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So, look, let me just tell you this. I want to suggest you and anybody else that hears this conversation, check out Prometheus. And I forget now, I would Google in Prometheus Radio Project. Because I'm sorry, you know, I should have brought the paperwork and then I could have just gave you the specifics. But then they have a page and they're talking about all this FCC stuff that's going on. This fight, we won. Everywhere you look, we're losing, you know. It's sad. We lose a strike here. We, you know, this goes wrong. They're attacking Iraq. They're occupying Iraq. People dying for nothing. You can get depressed if you think we never win, but that's wrong. Because on this small but real issue, the people won. And they had to open up and start giving out licenses to people to set up low-power stations. And another reason I know so much about it is because I was on the board, the Pacifica's National Board, last year. And some of those low-power stations joined the Pacifica network. So I got to find out a little bit about, you know, what was going on through that. Prometheus is worthy of checking out. And that Grassroots Radio Conference, they have links to it on the Prometheus page. If, you know, it costs money to do things, that's true. But these are your kind of people. These are people that are into radio
not
activists.
That much. Well, you're talking about it doesn't cost that much to do this, what we're doing. You're talking about it costs money to go to Massachusetts.
Right. I'm talking about, you know, and then they got a little registration fee and woody, you know.
That
$500 probably.
Is how, that is why, what will ST stop us from going is money. Yeah.
And you know, you gotta
and
work, gotta be
A, G, and age. It's getting harder for us to travel.
Yeah.
Lifting and stuff is difficult.
Tell me about it. No, I just started a job the other day. I thought I was gonna die. I had to take some pain pills. That's pitiful. I had the easiest job on the site. Fire alarm. I'm an electrician, right?
Yes.
So I'm doing the fire alarm. I'll have to take one wire up and down that ladder.
Oh. So why do you have GLIT glitter all over your face?
Okay. Hey, you know what? I'm not exactly sure how to translate that, but I'll say this. No, I didn't roll over and die, but I was hurting.
Is it me? No, I don't see glitter all over his face.
He's saying I'm relatively happy, I think he's saying. Is that what he's
saying?
He's saying
no. You see glitter? Where?
Oh, he's talking about glitter?
Yeah, where do you see glitter?
I don't see it right now.
He ain't talking about that kind of glitter.
I think he is, though. Are you talking about glitter, glitter? He's talking about glitter, glitter. Well, I don't see glitter. You've seen glitter? And what did you think it was?
One piece I saw.
What did you think it was?
Blue glitter.
What have you been up to?
I don't know about that, buddy. I thought he was complimenting me, talking about I was shining inside so strong. It was coming out. It was the glitter. You know what I'm saying? He was being literary.
I see it. You have some right here. I see it. It was when you turned. I could see it.
Oh, don't worry about it. All right. That's probably some mess I didn't clean up properly or something. I don't know. Anyway, I cause. But I tell you, my kind of people, I went last year to this thing. A lot of workshops where they talk about what you were talking about earlier. You know, how the technicalities of setting up stations, all that stuff. And also, you know, how to manage the station and little workshops on all of that. Music, young people had a nice time. And gatherings, what they call plenary gatherings, where everyone came together at once. Very worthwhile. Things are changing. You can't see it because it's on a molecular level socially. That is, but don't kid yourself. Our fellow Americans are getting tired of these sumbitches. They, you know what I mean? Lying about everything. They
will. Like when we STA started, lover, IGA, I gave it 2 years. You thought lover would only last 2 years? Before they would shut us down.
That's right. That's right.
B-E, because the R-I-A, R-I-A-A, that's the name of an organization that regulates internet.
Oh.
Recording industry, I mean. The recording industry.
Don't want nobody to play the records on the air. That's right.
And had all sorts of rules. You can't play a whole album. You can't play a song by the same artist within an hour and stuff. All these kinds of rules. That point, a lot of the internet stations closed down because there was also going to be a retroactive fee. Once the RIAA found you, you would owe them money from when you started, so you could end up owing them thousands and thousands of dollars. So people just quit when all of that came out.
Big mistake.
Yep, but I am a O U an outlaw.
You ain't no outlaw. You ain't no outlaw. I know some outlaws. They're not very, very nice people, let me tell you. And although there have been outlaws with some social consciousness. And in that sense we're all outlaws because you can't scratch your ass without breaking the law. They got so many damn laws. But, you know, I personally still would like to have the license, if at all possible. And the reason I would is because I'm tired of the cops kicking our door in, one. I'm not an outlaw. you know, and that I work for a living. I'm an honest person. I never steal mm-hmm. nothing from nobody. And insofar as I am an outlaw, it's mostly that I defy unjust laws. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, you know, I guess the term outlaw has this social mm-hmm. connotation that I like to duck, you know, slip and slide from. Mm-hmm. But really, I don't feel that, I don't like to take that bad man thing, because a lot of people used to be afraid of us when we were in the Panthers, you know, because they ate that kind of bad man image of the Panthers. We believed in arming ourselves for self-defense. That was turned around and made to look as if there was these really aggressive Negroes running around with knives in their mouths and guns. You know, that kind of, oh yeah, that's the image they tried to create. And I'm becoming a little conscious of that. I don't like them manipulating, you know, the image of what it is that we're trying to accomplish. So, and that's why I don't even call myself a pirate. I call myself a micro radio broadcaster. That's, you know, because I don't like to give them, I know, we already know our folks are way, way, way backward, you know. Look, I was talking to a guy about our station, and I was just shocked. This is a guy I thought at the station. He says, oh, you talking about Love of Radio? Oh, that's a pornography thing. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, don't they do those shows? And I said, wait a minute, that's not really what it's all about. That's one thing that they engage in. But that's not what they're all about. And that people jump conclusions like that, and you know,
yes,
kind of, I don't know, I that depressed me. I get depressed too much. But
where, when, when we did a zine, we put out a zine for like for 9 or 10 years in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It it had everything in it. It had poetry, photography, drawings, politics, just everything. Everything that we anything that came to us we liked, we put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
But they always called it a S sex magazine.
Oh yeah. Now you know why? I know why now. I understand it now. You know, in a sex-starved society, because all you know, that's why you have, you know, a pornography industry and stuff, because people are uptight, man.
Right.
Life is not good for lots and lots of people. People don't know how to talk to each other. You know how to approach people, how to interface with them. So what you get is a sex-starved society, sex winds up trumping everything. What should be, I was embarrassed when I went to France because I wasn't used to people just start swapping spit in the middle of the street. You know, it ain't no big deal. It's not a big deal. You know, people just embrace each other and blah, blah, blah. And here, people kind of want to call the cops on you or something if you kiss your kid.
What, Erica? No, we? What? Us walking? Well, because Mikey and Erica and I take a walk just around the block, you know, twice a week on Erica's days off. Usually it's Mikey and I walking, and we hold hands as we walk. So when it's Erica and Mikey and I, we hold hands when we walk. Wow. The looks we get from people.
Yeah.
The same people that are just like, you know, neighborly hello, they kind of look at us and kind of do that. They're freaked out by three adults holding hands and walking down the street. We look exactly the same as we looked the day before when there was a male and a female walking down the street holding hands.
No, it's an affection thing. And as I said, they done did some damage to the American people. Pretty serious. Pretty serious damage.
And I-N-T, intimacy, is N, never, S, H, shown on television or anywhere. They show sex, but they don't show intimacy.
Right, they don't know how to deal with it, yeah. Yes. So you understand how I was taken aback, because the guy I was talking to was a radical.
Right.
You know? I mean, you know, he's not a bad person, but some just people, you know.
Of some of them will not be guests on this show for the same thing, because it's not appropriate.
Oh.
Yeah. We've run into that many times.
Oh, well, let's get back to where we were about this, about the radio stuff. Anyway, we got that going on, the
like, the, on this, on this show, we have everything, one, we have everyone on this show. It's a real, again, it's like every kind of person, all different interests. I, D, E, F, defy, P, people, two, F, I, find, A, M, more, diverse show.
Mm-hmm.
But still get that same kind of thing, people saying it's a sex show. This show.
I wouldn't. You know what? Yeah, well, obviously, I figure at a certain point, you got to figure, if people are that locked up, individuals that locked up, what are you going to do? You know, I think that you stay true to yourself and you do the best you can do. And people who appreciate you will appreciate you.
I and the P E the people L I L O love the show. Yeah, I mean, we can't leave the house without people coming up to Frank. This is on the public access, because this show plays on public access. And, I mean, it really doesn't fail. They'll come up to Frank, and they'll be really excited, and they'll say, I watch your show every night. And it's mostly black men like that speak to us more. They're the ones that are saying things to us anyway.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think because Frank's theory is that they that Frank is kind of like an underdog that has kind of, what's the word, broken out or defeated the things that were trying to suppress him. Like, here he is a guy that should be in an institution somewhere, place, and instead he has his own radio show, and he has people around him, and he's smart, and he talks, and he has a good life, but he's the kind of person that was supposed to not be able to break through all the limits placed on him, and people that feel suppressed and repressed themselves can relate to that.
Oh, no, man, I tell you what, Homeboy was an inspiration to me. Don't let it go to your head now, brother. But no, in that when you meet people like Frank, that kind of shows you that something that they're screwing your mind up, and that you have to break through some of these psychological and ideological obstacles that they place systematically in our consciousness as we develop to prevent us from thinking like a free individual.
Yeah.
You see, and so one of the things I did, you know, you kind of, I was opened up earlier a little bit, so I wasn't totally, you know, unable to appreciate you, Frank, or people like you. But I joined Pushing Limits. Pushing Limits is a program that is produced by handicapped people. And they asked me to join. I'm not exactly sure why, but I did join, and I work with them now and help them produce radio programs on KPFA. Their program is 6:30, I think, 6:30 to 7 every other week. It's called Pushing Limits.
L, you, lover, could, would, see, carry that show, lover would carry.
Okay, what I'll do is I'll talk to Leroy. I will actually.
Is it Leroy Moore?
You know Leroy Moore?
Frank's brother. The Moore brothers. Yeah, Leroy. We've done stuff with Leroy. Yeah.
Okay, well, no. Well, I'm serious about this. I think that, but see, I think it should be brought to the whole. I know that Leroy would give him the CDs that he and I have produced. We did one on Rwanda, on handicapped people in Rwanda, and they actually have a minister of disability in Rwanda, because when you kill a million people, some don't die. They live with the arm lopped off, or, you know, there's a lot of people who are severely disabled due to that genocide that they had 6 years ago, was it, or whenever it was. Boy, that's some depressing. Now, that's depressing. But anyway, it's surprising that they have a minister of disabilities in Rwanda. So we interviewed him. He was in Rwanda, and we were in the station. And the other thing, Leroy is an interesting fellow. He is. That's my buddy. That's my buddy. Because he did a thing on police assaults of disabled people, which I think is... I'm in Cop Watch. I'm a supporter of Cop Watch. I'm one of the founding members of Cop Watch. I'm getting a little old now, so I don't go around as much. But I've always, you know, supported the work of Cop Watch, and I was an active participant for 10 years, the first 10 years of its existence. I'm against police brutality, period. But there can be no greater crime than the police using brutal methods against people that are handicapped or disabled. I mean, that is really sick. Like they just shot a guy that they knew. This guy had no legs. Not no legs. I mean, he was, his legs were, let me say it a nice way. His legs were amputated under the knee. I call it having no legs, but that, you know, I guess he had the top part of his legs better than nothing. But he had, like, you know, what do you call, like, false legs, you know? And they run up on the guy behind some old BS, he's unarmed, and he jumps out of the car, his legs fall off. You think, if you see a human being laying there with his legs off, is there a need to fire on that human being? They killed that man in San Francisco.
Wow.
That's how sick, to be perfectly frank, some of these police are.
I am oh. L, I'm old. I can remember when they would not dare do something like that. Nah. To a disabled person.
I think I tend to think that Frank is right on this one. That the society we live in is degenerating.
Yes.
It is getting worse.
Yes.
And it's not just in my head.
Right.
That's right. I got problems with it. That bothers me in a real, you know, I can't find the words. And I don't want to get all pumped up and too angry about it right now, because we want to talk about a lot of things, but something, you, when you can see that a person is disabled, for a policeman, and I tell you where it starts off. It starts off, generally in our society, people do not want to, or one, are not trained to, it's not part of our culture, to understand disabilities in a scientific way, first of all. And then understanding it can help, but then, of course, you need a little humanity to go that next step and actually deal with folks in a decent way, you know? We don't do this.
One in a V E very T E T W I twisted way they it may be because the disabled are now seen as just HU human and FAI fair and fair game.
Frank, sardonic. You wicked boy. No, look, they just did a thing the other day there. This disabled lady was in the family put her in a nursing home for disabled people, and they got a guy in there that was having sex with these disabled ladies. And I mean, now her mind, they said, was somewhere like between a 3 and a 4 year old child. And I said to my wife out, because I said, oh, how do they know? As soon as I ran my big mouth, right, I said, how do they know he had sex with her? Well, she got pregnant. And then they, you know, the DNA. Oh, now look, what do you do with somebody like that? And I oppose a death penalty. I'm in principle, particularly this state. But what do you do with somebody that rapes a disabled lady?
That is COM common. It is common in institutions like that.
Oh, man, don't tell me that.
Yeah, it is.
Why do I want to just believe something? That's a human problem, too. People don't want to believe.
Yes.
That their fellow man would be so low as to do some, you know, when also, no offense, but there's plenty of horny women just running around all over the world. I mean, why do you want to do something like that? You know, or just put a couple of dollars together and go get your whore. I mean, what's the big deal? You know, but to do that, you know, ow. It just hurts just thinking about it. Jesus Christ, where are we going?
I hired a guy when I was first. Oh, moving out of his parents' home when he was younger. He was a ex-NU nurse, an ex-nurse in a MNM. E. Mental Hospital. He could not get it in to his head that he could not hit me.
Oh, Lord, like, have mercy, Jesus.
like he did at the mental hospital.
Okay, Frank, you win. You know what?
You pulled a gun on Frank one night. He got drunk. And PU pulled a gun. BE because I was a SP. Spoiled brat.
Okay, that's a new low. I guess I gotta open my mind.
Screamed at him until he passed out. Till he pee, you put the gun away. And W.E. went to bed.
I bet you nobody wanted to believe you.
Then I.C. called my B.L.A. black P.A. N. Panther friend who G. got me out of there.
Wow. Okay, Black Panther's good for something. Wow.
But that S. H. O. chose how C. O. M. how common that sort of thing is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I. N. I never, never. H. hired anyone again. Is that right? From that point on, you used just people that were your friends.
All right, what can you say to something like that? Jesus Christ. Well, the problem is that I keep seeing as the system begins to die, like in his death agony, you see more of that type of depravity. You know
yes.
what I mean? More and more of it. And
yes.
It's, I don't know, maybe I'm getting old, but I have a real serious personal problem. I get depressed when I see that kind of shit. It really turns me off in a bad way. And I can just sit down with my hands covering my face in a chair for a spell until I get myself together, you know?
I. U. S. Use. The. F. A fact that the C O P the cops would not C O come after me in P R O T E protest. You use the fact that the cops would not come after you in protest. I didn't get that.
To
if you were at a protest.
Oh, at protests he uses the fact that cops won't come after him.
Oh.
But that would not work
today.
Now.
Yeah. Oh boy, you know what? It's scary when we start thinking together now. So that's how you do that so well, that you kind of anticipate what he's saying now.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, Leroy is a friend of mine's now, and we work together. On this Pushing Limits, we produced those two programs together. Very sharp guy. I really, really like Leroy. We're close. And he's a little frustrated because, well, he just never has any money, you know? And it's rough.
Who does?
Yeah, well, believe me, there are people that do. Let me tell you. There are people that do. But, I mean, you know, what would a person want to do? You might want to go to hear some live music. Now, I just read an article in the Times. They're going to have this big rap concert with Eminem and 50 Cent. And, you know, boy, and then somebody else. What are they going to charge people to come to this concert? Well, they're going to charge what they think the, quote, market can bear. $100.
Oh, my God.
$100 for a ticket to a jive concert where people are lip-syncing over music? That's karaoke shit as far as I'm concerned. $100?
Wow-wee.
Yeah.
Wow. Who? What? Who? Can S? Who can A afford that?
Well, see, what people afford... One time, there was a teacher in my house, and we were talking, and she was trying to get me to work at her private school. And I'm a little partial towards the public schools, especially now when they're trying to tear them down. And well, we went, you know, we had a cordial conversation. I said, well, where are they going to get the money? You know, she said to me, she said, look, they get money to buy crack. And I hate to say it, but it's really true that when people are well-centered and understand what they want to accomplish, you'd be surprised how people can get things done. You'd be surprised. People will come up with, I just came up with two scams for my neighbor's kids. And these are legal, you know, I shouldn't call them scams, legal opportunities to make work, to make money. One is just take the decals and put the number of the buildings on the driveways. So people... You know, see, all right, this is 915, this is 919. Useful, socially necessary. It's not a very expensive thing. And the kids, there, Mikhail's 11, she can do it. You know, so I'm going to take them through that and see if they like that. And the other thing is, because I'm an electrician, we got these big, giant reels. In fact, if you want one, you can have one. The reels that the wire come on, I used to take them and put them in the backyard, and we'd, you know, barbecue and whatever, you know, with the, and my wife kind of went crazy with the painting one time, you know, and she, the house is very nice color now. I just shut my mouth and let her choose what she likes. Cause no, she's better at it than I am, to be honest, and more concerned for sure. So she painted these, reels that I had brought in with some extra paint that was left over from the house. And it actually went really nice with the house once she had done it, you know. And then she did a little sponge thing, and I said, oh, enough already. Jesus. But then, you know, you leave people alone, and it was quite nice. It was quite nice what she created. So I figured the kids could do that. So I brought up 7 reels. Now I have to follow through and make sure that I kind of wash them off and, we get a little one of those little spray paint things and kind of help them a little bit and then let them put their little creative edge in there. Mm-hmm. And that's something people can throw in the backyards, our relatives, their aunts, cousins, that kind of stuff. Something that anything we can have our children do that makes them feel like somebody is a good thing to me.
I always... do S L I D sliding scale for anything we do, and people to get into any of the events we do, and we let people pick how much they can afford within, like, so we'll do like $5 to $50 to pay what you can afford. And you know, people don't only pay $5. People that can pay more pay $10. Sometimes you get a $20 in. F, A, in fact, I think we end up getting more money by doing it that way.
Yeah. Volition, yeah?
Yeah. Who? Would, who wants A, U, D, an audience of people who can afford a $20 or $50 or $100 ticket?
Well, $100 is crazy, though. I pay $30 sometimes to see McCoy Tyner. And they just went up at Yossi's. I spend $25 getting Yossi's because I really like jazz. And have you ever been to Yossi's?
Yeah, we have. Nice. We saw
Charles Brown.
Yeah.
That was
Merry Christmas,
and
baby.
And what was the woman that Ahada Brooks opened for him?
Mm-hmm.
That was an amazing show.
Yeah, he passed away right after that show.
That's right. Were you there at that
show? No, I didn't go to that particular show, but I go there a lot.
Yeah.
I used to like the place much more when they had it in a house up there on Claremont.
Right.
I thought it was more, you know, it was really unique then. Now it's just a fancy place to go out and eat and hear some jazz, but it probably is the best place in the East Bay that I know of, if you like jazz. And I love music, but music is in a crisis right now, you know? They're not developing very much good music.
But that is what they want you to believe, because we get incredible music sent to us. It's all independent. You know, it's people.
Well, all right,
let's,
I'm sorry.
Stuff.
Let me correct myself, because that was an absolute statement. Let me say this. Yeah. The music that I am able to hear, and I get to hear a lot, though, being around the radio stuff, and that, in other words, music that is generally, what is the word, is pushed by the music industry and called popular music is in crisis,
that's
is
bad.
What I meant.
Yeah,
because it's
bad.
Not very interesting,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Before we started Lover, we stopped listening to the radio altogether. We thought there was just nothing on, and we thought that was it. And then we started Lover, and we started getting all this music in the mail, most of which is really good. And we realized it's good, it's just not what's on the radio,
right.
Not the mainstream radio.
Right.
And L, U, Lover, E, D, U, educates people. Us. Lover educated us, right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
That's true. I could see that.
I did not know about D, U, dub, that kind of music.
Yeah, dub music.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
some of that stuff I gave y'all, some
right.
of that dub stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
You, until Lover.
Mm-hmm.
Until your tapes.
Oh, okay. Well, you're going to get some mo. Plenty mo. In fact, I'm really happy that y'all like that stuff.
Ah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm serious.
That's great.
Because I got lots. That used to be what I did, was music.
Yeah.
You know, I used to DJ around the Bay Area and in New York. But what it was for me is I got tired of I didn't like the pop music. I didn't like the direction of the pop music. Just couldn't hold my interest. So I started listening to reggae. And then I got a little enthusiastic for a while, you know. And then the reggae pretty much, after Bob Marley died, it went for another maybe 5-6 good years, and that was it. It basically succumbed. See, this is what flexibility does not mean the way you defined it.
Right.
They started to adapt to American pop and rap and stuff because they wanted those American dollars.
Right.
So now you listen to what they call reggae. That shit ain't no reggae. That's a drum machine and some guy rapping with a Jamaican accent. That's not reggae music. Reggae music has definite elements. That, you know, when they invented it, when they developed it as an art form, and you can tell reggae in the first couple of bars, you can tell a reggae song. That shit ain't no reggae they doing. That's a damn shame.
I and we have O-L, old reggae. It is R-A-D. D-I, radical.
Mm. Oh, very. Much more conscious. When Marley and them came out with the reggae, it's a funny thing because they had this little Rastafarian philosophy that kind of opened them up to criticizing what was going on around them. And partially from, you know, the legacy of Marcus Garvey, part a lot of it is just the reality of what they were living in and talking about venerating the truth. So they, actually, reggae, more than any other music I can really think of besides folk music, really did kind of have a strong critical edge. That's what I liked about it. That's why I started liking reggae. When I started listening to a little bit of Bob Marley, but I really liked Peter Tosh. I really liked Peter Tosh. And that's, you know, then I said, right, so y'all going to get the benefit of that because I got so much reggae. But that'll be, I'll be dead. How are we going to do this? Because I got 1,000 albums here. Jesus Christ.
That's what Mikey does. He gets up and he starts it.
You do that in here?
In the house, yeah.
You do it in the house. You don't do it in here.
No, it is.
Man, I'd like to go through the process with you a couple of times.
Amazing. What we are getting, the music from all the various sources. I don't know, Alexi and Corey have probably told you. We have an ex-KPFA DJ who's handed over his record collection to Lover. Some of the records, like, have been played once. You know, they're, like, brand new. We have you. We have Dr. Groove, who has an big blues collection. C.A. Captain Fred keeps us. He makes us whatever we ask.
That's why we have to transform the society. Man, can you imagine what, with the technology that we have, with a slight extension of it, living in a household where all of the electronic, let's call them the doohickeys, are built into the building. So you just take your little remote control out, you hit a button, and a screen comes up and asks you what you want to do. You tap it. You could hear one of 5 million songs instantly if you wanted to. Why do we need to have... See, because, you know, I get beat up all the time because my stuff is all over the house. See, my house is not very neat. My house is not very neat, all right, folks? But boy, if you look around, you see some interesting stuff. Books and music. That's all over the place. Yeah. Interesting books and music, but space is a problem. And now with what they charge to live, just to live, just to live, $500,000 to put a roof over your head. That's why you know this can't last.
That is one A advantage of how we live, kind of tribally, because we have two houses that kind of exist as one. We all kind of function as one. So Corey and Alexi, Erica, Mikey, Frank, and I. B, E, we, P, U, put the R, E, L, relationships first. That opens a lot up. Even on the P, R, A, practical level.
I think it's social, though, Frank. I don't. The word tribal. I get a burn from the tribal. No. You know why? No. I'm gonna tell you because politically, the term. I don't know if y'all aware of all the stuff that was happening in South Africa and stuff like that. But what happened is, as the changes began, and as the ANC got on the march, and started recruiting more people and getting people to try to change South African society, they started using tribes like the Zulus under Buthelezi as a reactionary instrument against the ANC. And it got really nasty, really ugly in South Africa for a while. Murders, assassination.
That is different than what we're talking
about. Oh, I damn sure know it is. I know it is. It's just, you know, terms begin to acquire their meanings and context, you know, and what's going on, you know what I mean? So when you say, I'm going to go hang with my gang, it might be totally innocent. But because of all the trauma surrounding the gang, particularly like in L.A., where it was really heavy, where you had a lot of, everybody was cliqued up, you know. Use of the term can sometimes lead to misunderstanding, that's all. Because y'all, that's social. Y'all are a social unit. Y'all are basically like family.
Yes. Yeah. You use the W O word C R I Crip. Frank always refers to himself as a Crip. I was and people think he means he's part of the gang, the Crip.
You know, do you know Jane Jackson?
No.
Jane Jackson is a friend of mine. She's a she was actually on the KPFA board also for about a year. Taught me a lot. She is disabled, but she taught me a lot. And she basically, sometimes when you get to know disabled people, that's common. That's common. That kind of self-depreciating humor. And I you know, I don't know how to, I try to just ride, you know, just listen. And don't, really, because I'm not, I know that I'm sick. See, I know that I'd be around a lot of sick shit, so I'm not the one to judge nobody, you know what I mean? But I try, because like right now, my mother has a disability that I can't deal with. And that's people, American citizens generally, mental disabilities really turn people to, you know, because it's hard to understand. And dementia is something that almost everybody, a lot of people are going to get dementia, a lot of people as they get older, you know, and that's something we all need to know how to deal with.
Erica? So Erica is the director of enrichment at the Claremont Retirement Home in Oakland. So she's around, you know, old people all the time. And her job is to create, she does groups with people, you know, singing and dancing and being silly. Takes them on people out on outings around the community. Decorates for activities, just whatever. But you know, she's around people, old people all the time. B A T R. She's the bartender because they have the wine bar. And what's the other night? The social hour where, you know, she has to mix drinks.
Mm-hmm. But it's not, so obviously you choose to do that. But it's like, you know when it's rough? It's when. And I guess this is the most difficult part for me to, just to deal with my mom, is as she started to slip into this dementia thing, the first thing, of course, she denies is anything's wrong with it. But actually, you can track it. It gets worse and worse. Initially, I didn't even believe anything was wrong with her because my mother's a very powerful individual. You know, poor black woman come up with a family from the South. And, you know, my first job my mom had, I think she was a cashier. No, she worked as domestic in New York, then a cashier. Then she went to, she got a scholarship to go to New York, NYU, and became a teacher, you know, shop steward for the teachers, little Grand Poobah for the Democratic Party up in Mount Vernon, and you know, on the church committees, and you know, my mother was an exceptional person, very interesting, and this, that's why I can understand. That's why she can't quite come to grips with it herself. But it leads to like these paranoid instances where she thinks people are trying to get at her or kill her or poison her. It's been pretty nasty. It's been pretty ugly. She's staying at a nursing home now. But we talk a lot. You know, she likes to call. So we talk a lot. And I, you know.
Is she local?
Or
is
no, she no. State, she's in New York.
Yeah.
We had. Now, that's something that is just a very practical thing. People don't understand. As you start to head towards that grave, your body and your mind is going to start to malfunction. And you have to, you're going to be disabled. Everybody is going to be disabled on some level before you die. Almost everybody. Some people lucky, they just roll over and die. You know?
S-O society is not S-E set up.
Right.
For H, U, human.
Exactly right. Set up for that money. To keep that money flowing. That's number one.
Yeah.
And humans, well, if there's anything left for you. But that's it's so sad because there's so much. Because of that, there's a lot of unnecessary suffering.
Yeah. M. O. Most. S, U, suffering is unnecessary.
Yeah.
S, no. P, people. C, O, N, confuse. S, suffering. With struggle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, very different.
S. Struggle. Is. H. E. A. Healthy.
Yeah.
I. Like. Struggle.
Oh, yeah.
That they don't you understand that they, the powers that try to manipulate or push Frank down, don't understand that he gets all revved up in those situations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love it, but suffering is T-O totally D different.
Yeah. I know it's different, and some of it, so you know, it's a strange thing because we live in a modern society where people have the capacity, at least, to understand things a lot clearer or better than we did, let's say, 200 years ago. But our minds are not there. You know what I mean? People, the tools are there, but if your mind ain't there, you can't pick up the tools. To be, you know, oh, God. Just
F. No, R. A. D. Radicals, G, R, O, radical groups, C, O, come to us, asking for tips on starting an internet thing, like what we do with Lover, and when we tell them how to do it cheaply, which is the way we've always done it, They don't want to do it that way. They want to do it so that they're going to reach thousands of people and figure that it's going to cost megabucks. And we're saying you start out, you pay like $100 a month, and you start with this, and you reach this many people, and then you build as you can. It's an organic process. No,
you have to understand something. Now, them ain't radicals. Them silly people. No, don't blame that on radicals. Because one always starts off small. This idea that you just go straight to, that's part of what's wrong with the culture.
The kids,
you start off at the top with the billions and the, oh, that's crazy. Excuse me.
You need some water?
No, I'm all right. I'll be all right.
And why are not our radicals you using BTV, the public access channel in Berkeley?
I think I would take their water.
Yeah, you want to go, Erica, want Erica to get it? Maybe, or you? Okay, you're good.
You know what?
All right.
I'll tell you why. I consider myself a radical, and I, of a sort, I guess. So I understand a lot of people that consider themselves to be radicals. I don't really, most of them are probably, if you're really honest, they're really liberal. And they just think they're radical. But it's, a lot of it is, radicals are human beings raised in a hostile environment. And people get used to doing things a certain way. I've been involved in many, many, many groups, and I can tell you something. You'd be surprised how conservative the thinking of some of these people are. And they're not bad people at all. It's just that I don't want to say thinking outside of the box. I have always learned being open-minded pays off. You know, it makes you smarter, it makes you better. If you've never lived through that, if you've never been around people that demonstrated that to you, you wind up not, you know, it's actually kind of hard to change. Thank you very much, man. It's hard to change that. You can't just, you know, it's really hard to change that. People's habits and also there's, I was talking about this today, a lot of groups. We watched a film last night. On Saturday nights, we watch educational films at my house. So, like, let's say during the elections, we would watch 911, Fahrenheit 911, and Fox, Out Fox, you know, that kind of stuff. So we were watching American Dream last night. American Dream is the story of the Hormel strike and the American trade union movement. What happened? How did it get so bad, you know? Because that was one of the key strikes in the 80s that was lost that led to a total devastation of the trade unions in America. Whereas in 1979, let's say, there was 33% of the workforce was unionized. Today, we're talking about 10%. And they, no matter how much the bureaucrats talk, they can't reverse it. You know, that's another point, but if you see how people think and reason and do things, when, I don't know what they say, the definition of insanity is to do the same thing repeatedly and not get the results you want, but to continue to do it. That's a problem. It's not, I don't think it's radical people alone. I think that's a people problem, period.
Yes. Like, I am in on BTV 7 nights a week. We're on BTV 7 nights a week.
That's good.
Yeah. Some nights for 6 hours straight.
What? Oh, you ain't jiving, man.
Like, I should not, I should not be able to have that much airtime. There should be so many people clamoring to get use that airtime. But
keep using it, please.
I fill the void, the vacuum.
Isn't that pitiful?
Yeah.
That is so fucking pitiful.
And KPFA, PE, people, RFI, fighting over time slots, and there's all this public access TV stuff that's just sitting there and nobody's taking it.
All right, now, you know, I'm going to tell you why I haven't taken it. Because I've been on public access. A guy named Steve Zeltzer has this little program that he's had.
We've carried his show on Lover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I've been on his show a lot, and I've been at the Berkeley. His show was in San Francisco, and they got the thing. My impression is, and maybe I'm wrong, that it takes a lot more. See, when, let's say, Tracy and I want to do a thing about Rumsfeld and Abu Ghraib, we go Google it out, pick some of the better documents. I tell some of our friends and contacts. They send me the best things they've had. So maybe I read, you know, a couple hundred pages of documentation and we go on the air. It's all in my head. But as you see, maybe, you know, it's not a good thing, but I don't put a lot into making myself up and all of that.
And
no, it's different on television.
We don't either. We don't either. We don't do, this is us. This is the way we look every day. We don't do anything different for the show.
Oh, well, but you know, all right.
That.
Okay, but people are used to. All right, go ahead.
That is the B R A, the brainwashing.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know what it is. It's when you look at the idiot box, that's your model.
Right. Right.
You see? But it is, all right, now this you can't deny. I'll give you right about what you just said, but this you can't deny. Radio production is different in terms of TV production in that, like, I can go and interview somebody, okay, I got it on my little digital direct, you know, on my disc, and then I go, we turn it to a CD, we kind of got that going.
Yeah.
Now, I work with Cop Watch, and we produced a couple of pretty good films. One is The Streets Are Watching.
Yes.
You saw it?
Yeah, is that the one we saw on BTV, right? Yeah, it was very good, yeah. PL played it. Did we play it on Lover 2? Right. Okay,
yeah.
There you go.
Well, that's good. Now, but that experience, to get that done, took a lot of effort.
But it don't have to be that produced.
Right. That's true. It doesn't, you know,
there,
I don't know.
We do 4 hours a week of S shows. It's actually, no, it's like, of our, oh, well, it's 2.5, it's 3.5, right, 3.5 hours of new content and of new show per week. Oh.
2 hours a
DP per week?
Yeah,
on BTV?
Oh, no. We shoot each week.
We shoot 2 hours of Deep Core Magic each week, but what goes on to BTV is 3.5 hours a week that we have to put on a tape in hand, or a DVD in hand to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we do, like, no production value at all. We set a timer for the hour show so that they stop so to allow time for our canned opener and closer. So
right.
All that's involved in putting that show together is dubbing it onto the tape with the opener and closer. That takes nothing. Mm-hmm. And then this show, the 2.5 hour show, if the interview doesn't run the full 2.5 hours minus the opener and closer, mm-hmm. we just plug something in and we don't worry about transition or anything. It's mm-hmm. just like this stops and something else starts mm-hmm. until the 2.5 hours are used up. That is R.A. Radical. Yeah, there's nothing polished about it, but we get so much content, you know, jammed in there. So anybody that sends us anything, oh, we have 5 minutes, let's throw that on there, like a little 5-minute piece somebody sent us. So we get a lot of stuff in there. And it's all done, you know, in the house. We don't go to the studio there at the station, you know, so that is a T-R-A trap going to the station. We just use our video camera.
Right. That's all you need, huh? Yeah. Digital. And
in they don't like it that we don't. They give us a hard time for not hanging out at the station and shooting our shows at the station.
Mm-hmm.
And we went by there actually recently and got the tour. And Frank said, is there a limit to, because they're always giving us a hard time that we don't do the shows there. Is there a limit on how much studio time a person can get per, was it week? And there was. And we would go way, way, way over it. And so she had to admit it's a good thing that we have our house that we can do it in, because mm-hmm. it wouldn't have worked.
That's interesting. I think you're missing one thing, Frank. You got to be honest with the folks now. I like this truth thing. It's not just a matter of a video or a tape recorder, but imagination is a very important ingredient.
Yes.
And unfortunately...
Well.
What did he say?
He said, well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a very important ingredient. And you know what? You can't go get it at Radio Shack.
Right.
You know, technology will not overcome it.
Right.
This is something that has to be inside of you based on the experiences that you've gone through in your life. And I tell you what, people don't have very much positive experience. I'm thinking about it. But you know what? I'm trying to learn how to use a program called Fast Edit. Okay, so I got another program called Vegas, and that's the program I'm trying to start to use so that I can produce the radio programs on the computer. And eventually, it'll be a while, but when I get the final cut down, I'd be open to trying to do more on, you know. See, you know what I found? A lot of it is to make a commitment and stick with it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So when Tracy and I...
It does take commitment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But see, just like you said, when you started doing the radio, you started learning more about music. The more... that we worked, see, we started, Tracy and I started working together on radio in 1992. I think he must have been about 19 years old. And,
how did you two get together?
I met Tracy at a public meeting at on Malcolm X. And we started talking. And we got to know each other. And from then on, we started working together. We developed a very close bond. Now, so we kind of committed to it. And as we did it, we started to get much better very quickly. We started looking at how could we improve. We started to read about it. You know, how do you frame a particular issue properly and da 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 da. So we, you know, we got to study in radio and looking at what we wanted to reject and what we wanted to try to include in our own style and methods. So you know, it's pretty deliberate. What we do is we've actually thought about it a bit before we
But you, L, E, A, learn, be, by doing.
That's true. That's how we learn. Well, no. We learn by doing. We learn by doing, absolutely. That's true. But we also, in the process, wanted to improve what we were doing. So we started to study it on a theoretical level also. So it wasn't just the pragmatic, you know, just go, trip, fall, get up. We actually did pick up a couple of books. And articles and things.
Most people. W. A. Wait. Oh, to learn before they do it. Yeah. And that's what makes it not happen.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree with you. I would not allow that to become an obstacle. Right. We do want to try. But it's just like people are amazingly conservative about their own self-actualities. You know, they don't believe very much in themselves.
Yes.
Sad. You know?
I always did.
Well, I just sometimes, once in a while, you get some youngsters and they get a little enthusiastic and excited. That's why I want, when we got shut down in 202 and they came through with those cops with the automatic weapons, we lost the children. See, I had went out there and recruited some kids, and we had some kids, not a show about kids, an adult talking about kids. We had a kids show. These were all youngsters that were in Berkeley High, like ninth grade. And they just happened to be real smart, all girls. That's just the way it is, you know. And they were really oozing with potential. And they did live music. They had a little band. It was funny. But they were also conscious. They were coming to awareness. It was a very interesting little experiment. But when they kicked them doors down, their parents wouldn't let them come no more. That's a reason you want to have a license.
That is why to have the
uplink he's talking about.
The streaming.
Yeah, yeah.
So
okay.
So when they kick a door and it's not where the kids are, it's someplace else.
Okay. I hear you. And to tell you the truth, as I said, we certainly, that's what they say they want to do. That'd be good.
It is cheap. It's cheap to do it that way, too. You could. Oh. N only S T R E stream to the T transmitter location S I so you would not have B, bandwidth issues.
Yeah.
That's where the money comes in. Streaming is paying for bandwidth so a lot of people can listen. So if you're not worried about that, you're just trying to reach that one location, and then it keeps your costs down.
Yeah. Okay. I'm listening, believe me, because we're going to have to do something. Unfortunately, if we don't do something pretty quick, I'm not sure that Berkeley Liberation Radio will survive, and that is because we've gone through a number of transformations, not all good. When we were Free Radio Berkeley, we were very fortunate because KPFA was conducting a purge at that time when the people were trying to take it over, the corporate, the pro-corporate type people were trying to take it over. So although when they kick out 200 DJs or programmers, a lot of them came and joined Free Radio Berkeley. So we had some highly qualified people working with us. Then the thing was over by, let's say, 2000. So some of them went back or, you know, but then they shut us down. And then we reopened as Berkeley Liberation Radio, but there was some acrimony or disagreements. And I really don't recall all of the specific issues, but we were weaker then. Then they shut us down 202. We got a little weaker still. So you got some knuckleheads like me that just won't give up. But most people are afraid of the armed force, you know, of the police. I'm just telling you. That's a fact of life. You have to, and that's why. Okay, I hear what you're saying, Frank. But see, what I'm really trying to get at is, when you're trying to have a station, a community station, you have to find a road to the young people. You have to find some kind of way to let the kids in and let them do their thing. And you know what? I am for showing them how to polish off, not to require that they be polished. How are they going to come in the door and polish if they children? But you do want to teach them techniques so that they get the desired effects, at least, you know, from their work. But I can really see it, because you see what we've got now is a lot of people in our station are old. In Berkeley Liberation are old, are people who have, many of them have been around in the 60s and 70s. And there's a problem, because old is not always good. It's not bad, but it's not good by itself. You need a mix.
Right.
You know, a social mix.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? More women. We don't have enough women. So we wind up with a lot of egotistical fellows that like to be heard on the radio, but have no vision, no program, no understanding of why they're really there, and above all, no sense of how to stay there, you know? So we got a problem. I'm hoping that we make it.
Why don't L, you, lover, have that problem? You're asking me why we don't have that problem?
But y'all tight. You see, y'all got a different thing. Y'all, one, you don't have a staff that's quite that large. We had what, about 50, 60 people at Berkeley Liberation Radio. The second thing, there was no selection process. If you knew somebody and you wanted to be on the air, people just came and signed up.
We? P, L, U, P, L, U, no, lover, is that too, but I, G, O, I go, O, U, I go out. To find people all the time. Frank's always out scouting.
Well, see, but there is a question. When you have a radio station, there is a question now, Frank, of administration and decision making. That's real. You have to decide some things.
I am a dictator. Takes care of all that.
Well, you know what? On a certain level, that might be a model to consider.
Yeah.
But the model that we were supposed to be trying to emulate is the model of the Democratic Community Organization, and that it sounds quite proper and the right thing to do.
But
people have to know how to do it.
Don't work.
Well,
I don't C-O-N-T, control, what, people do on their shows, but I do everything else. You make all the decisions about what happens ultimately. Yeah.
Well, you do need a general manager, right? But what? Go ahead.
A, yes. Not A P R O F E S professional, not a professional.
Yeah.
Like KPFA.
KPFA no damn professionals. That's the problem with them. They have somebody lied to them and told them they were. Listen, I was on the national board and the local station board. There's nothing professional about KPFA. In fact, that bullshit gets in the way. That fake professionalism gets in the way.
Yeah.
In a lot of very negative ways. I don't think you want to talk about it right now, but because I can.
Yes.
Oh, he wants. You know, boy.
W H I, which was Y I B R O brought it up.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think there are a lot of phenomenon in this world. One of the problems that people have in understanding something like KPFA is that people don't understand the contradictory nature of reality and of many parts of reality. Things can be good and bad at the same time, and it's hard for people to accept that. KPFA started off, guy Lou Hill and some friends in his milieu were genuine pacifists. They actually went to prison during World War II for refusing to go into the army. So already, you got some pretty exceptional people here. They form KPFA, and they get the FM license, and they start the first listener-sponsored radio station. Now, what happens is, and this is problematic. You got a radio station. You appeal for funds from the public. I think that's okay. And then what happens is you start to get enough funds where you can actually hire some people. Now, jobs and community organizations. I don't believe, and I'm going to be real clear here, I don't believe that people, that if it's a genuine community organization, there's no lifetime jobs in a community organization.
Right.
You serve as needed. And unfortunately, that is one of the biggest problems that they have, is that they think that they want to be fair, so they don't want to, quote, mistreat anyone, that the staff people. But understand, the staff can go bad with time.
Yes.
And that is precisely what one of the things that's going on at KPFA. The staff has this fake union thing going on. And I personally don't really, you know, I don't think about the staff that. I try not to think about the staff that much. But human beings can be corrupted. Human beings can forget what it is that led them to begin a particular enterprise.
In fact, he may, K.I. killed himself because he saw that coming, Lou Hill.
I think that's true. What he just said is absolutely true. In fact, a great revolutionary by the name of Leon Trotsky once said that if Joseph Stalin, at the age of, let's say, before the Russian Revolution, knew what he would become due to the degeneration of that revolution, he probably would have shot himself. Same kind of thing. So here we got this community organization. I think the same thing is true of the unions. People very often get hired or into a situation where they're going to represent a union and really want to do it and want to do the right thing, maybe for years. But due to disappointments, setbacks, defeats, a lot of people just say, well, you know what? I can't take this union any further. The membership doesn't come to the meetings that much. I'm not going to quit and lose it. This is, but it's about as good as it gets for me. I'm paying my house note. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Yeah. I'm living fairly large. Why should I quit just because I've given up subjectively? In fact, what I'll do is just shut the hell up and say that I'm still with it. Ride this dog till I can't ride it no more. Well, when that type of demoralization sets in, that means that that person is becoming an obstacle to the very thing that they originally were supposed to be helping with, right? This is one of the things that's happened in Berkeley. So you got the corruption in the staff, see? And unfortunately, a lot of the staff, look, here's a very simple thing. There's a program called Democracy Now.
Yes.
Right?
We play it, Carry It On Lover.
Well, the first thing that happened when I was elected, I was, I read and I talked to people, and they put the thing on at 6 and 9. And, well, there's something called drive time in radio, which is the time that most people that don't listen to your station are likely to catch you. And that drive time is usually between 7 and 9 in the morning and somewhere like between, oh, I'd say, you know, 5 and 7 at night or something like that. That's the drive time, generally speaking. So what do you want to do? If you want to attract new listeners, what do? You put your best program in drive time.
Why? Why do you want to attract new listeners?
Well, I tell you why I wanted to. I was asked to run for the board, the local station board, because they wanted to get people in there that they didn't have to fear would work with these corporate elements. And they knew damn well that I wasn't going to work with no corporate element. And to tell you the truth, I felt optimistic that once we elected a board, as opposed to the appointed boards that they had before, that we could make some real positive changes to make KPFA a real community station. That was my hope. And I founded, in the process, I founded an organization called People's Radio, and I'm still hoping to make some changes, you know, to improve KPFA, because as it is now, I think it's absolutely pitiful and certainly not worth the millions of dollars that go into it.
Hal P., how, in what way is it pitiful?
Well, okay, let's look at KPFA. Let's look at the grid. Let's just talk about the programming now. What can you hear on KPFA? You can hear Democracy Now! I think that's a quality program. But why is that the only one? All right, I'll stretch as far as I can to pick out a couple other decent programs. Guns and Butter is, I think, 2 to 3 on Wednesdays. That's a pretty decent program. Flashpoints is 5 to 6 during the week. I think that's a decent program. That's it. I mean, now I know people have their personal favorites. And I know that I can be a very judgmental person. But you want to know something?
D-E. Define decent.
Okay. Let's be careful. You're right about decent, but let's put it this way. Decent is not a good word. But I mean,
G. Oh, good. Define like a good program.
Yeah, good. I think a program should be, there's a lot of things. One, there are different types of programs. Mm-hmm. I personally do not believe that music programs should not have anything intelligent in them. See, I think a music program, there should be some discussion about things like, you know, maybe the history of the music, where it came from, who the proponents are. So I don't believe you should ever have a program that's a music program that doesn't, where there's no discussion of anything intelligent. You should try to make the music, you know, touch upon at least, you know, why it matters and what, where did it come from, etc.
But what, who should S.A. say that?
Well, I think the programmer should say that. You know, this is not a diktat. There are ways to talk with people and work with people that encourage them to improve. You see, and that doesn't go on at KPFA, unfortunately. There is no program development at all. I think, and by the way, I would argue that a program, look at what Democracy Now! Is doing recently. I think a good program, even if it's a public affairs program, should have some music in it. You know, there should be some, I don't think you have to have a Chinese wall between public affairs and music and other arts. That's, you know. But that's okay. Now, that's not a diktat. That's just a guideline of how to look at the thing.
Who should S.A. say? Who should say that?
Well, now that gets complicated.
Don't think it is my place to tell you to turn down the music when you're talking on Slave Revolt.
That's my Tracy. All right.
Is not my show.
Actually, I think it wouldn't be a bad thing to tell Tracy that once in a while, though.
Tracy that, actually.
And I try to tell him that. But that's not quite what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is a person goes on the air. Now, are we talking simply about free expression, or are we carrying out a community service? See, I look at it as a community service. And, of course, free expression is a part of it. And I'm not talking about a micromanaged thing where, you know, you tell turn on the music. That's not so much. What I'm talking about is there is certainly some way, I don't believe in this, what do they call it? Not for radio. What do they call the evaluation thing they got? It's not the Nielsen. Nielsen ratings is television. Radio.
Yes.
Radio has some kind of a evaluation.
Do you know what it's called?
No. I forget what it's called.
Yeah, we know what you're talking about.
Well, see, I'm not even talking about that, but we do need some way to look at our programming, and I'm sure, whether you're even as fully aware of it or not, you have some criterion in your mind that you want some diversity.
No.
You don't have any criteria in your mind?
Yes. About diversity?
Well, yeah. Well, see, that's something. In other words, we all have something going on in our minds about what we think would make for interesting programming that people want to listen to. We want people to listen.
That is not my main focus. Getting listeners is not your main focus. I D-I-S-E-C, it, as, a, p, I, pipeline.
Explain what you mean by that.
I, my, it is my job to keep the pipe open.
Okay.
And to get as much as many V voices on.
Okay, now I'm going to have to, let's say now that you're with me and we're on the coordinating committee of
I am A U D I T auditioning.
No. I'm trying to get you to imagine a different circumstance.
Yeah.
Because I understand that you have, you know, you run Lover, and I understand that, and I'm for it. And I kind of hope you don't change it, all right? But I'm trying to get you to see a different situation, like we had, let's say, with Free Radio Berkeley, when we started to become more and more successful. We were forced into a situation where there were more people that wanted to be on the air than we had slots. Now, that was real, and that was 24 hours a day.
So, I would just E X P A expand the S L O the slots B by not doing W E E weekly shows.
Yeah, but no, Free Radio Berkeley didn't have that. Free Radio Berkeley did not have what we, you know, weekly shows. That wasn't a problem of Free Radio Berkeley. It just became popular, and we had more people applying than we had slots. It actually happened to us.
But when they applied, did they apply to do a show on a regular basis?
Yes.
Or just, yeah, so Frank is saying he would get rid of the idea of, like, weekly slots.
Oh, I see.
That's the way he would make more room.
Yeah, that's one. That's a possibility. But you want to know something? Eventually, it starts to hit you that here's somebody we would really like to see on the air. And we, all right, here, let me get, all right, let's try something else, because that's one way of doing it, but I want to get clearer on the question of subjectively judging something, where it comes down to.
I never judge.
Okay, well, hold on, Judge, now we're going to see. We had a situation where, I'll never forget this, because I basically shared his attitude. But then this hit. This was real. We had these young black men that came on the air and did a little comedy show. Now, the women started complaining because they thought that the show was misogynist. I thought they were being ridiculous until I listened to it. Bitch better have my money. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. No, get your ass out of here with that bullshit. And I'm going to tell you why. We don't have to, when it's a community project, we have to embrace the entire community, which includes women. And I think that it's not good.
I.
Go ahead.
F. I.
That people
I
go around insulting women on the air. That's not good.
I find T. H. O. Those. S. Shows. Don't. Last. So they
probably
kind of peter off on their own and you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, but we wanted to make a statement about it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I. We. H. Had. A. Few. Shows like that on Lover. But. I. P. L. E. P L E, no, I P, no, I L, E, T, I let them, C, O, N, T, continue, but, I, G, A, gave, them, A, H, A, hard time. Do you remember the situation?
Vaguely. I think because we had the chat room, you know, you could, like, when the show was on, you could, you know, argue with them. Or
is that what you mean, Frank? You would talk to them in the chat as they were on doing the show, or... On air, after, I, and before their show, you would give them a hard time.
Okay, that's one way to approach it. I happen to think that we don't go on the air to insult the public, and I think women are an important part of the public, and to tell you the truth, women just would not accept it. At Free Radio Berkeley, they were up in arms, and my view as a person on the coordinating committee is that, to be really honest, no, the women were more important than these guys' right to go around insulting people.
H, the G, U, give them the guy, A, D, D. Give the women the guy's address.
I guess there's more than one way to deal with these problems. But
A, I am bad.
No, I hear you, and on a certain level, maybe that's what they needed. Except we weren't that tight. You know, we were a station where you came in.
Yes.
You know, you did your thing. So. And it wasn't like people weren't trying to talk to them about it.
I
so
can not S T A start judging or what or when where or where it. Will it or where will it end if you start judging?
Very serious question. I can't answer that. But I want to say this. In this particular, this was an interesting episode because it took on racial connotations at the same time because the young men happened to be black in this particular situation. And the women that were complaining in this situation happened to be white. But the way I looked at it was, see, I do believe there's such a thing as right and wrong in the world. I'm not agnostic about that.
Yes.
And I don't see, and when the resource was limited, also, it's not like it was an unlimited resource, I eventually sided with the women and voted to take these young men off the air. That's what I decided to do. Because I do think that there's limits, you know, and I don't think that people should use a community resource to go on there and vomit their sickness all over the rest of us, particularly when that's what's being done on the other radio station anyway. You want to hear, bitch, better bring my money, just turn on to WKNGO or whatever that is, you know.
That was R-E-A. Really? Why? I did not like T-H-O, those shows, the ones that were on Lover. Yeah. But they did not, they didn't last.
I believe you. Because that kind of foolishness is not going to, they're not really motivated by anything to really stay in there for a long, hard struggle. That's right.
Yes.
I think you're right, but I say again, I think it's important to be honest. I voted to give them the bum's rush. And I thought that the women, my sympathies were with the women in that situation.
I kept the F-R-E-E freedom. I kept the freedom, but gave them a hard time. Yes. S. So. In the E, in the end, I S T I still H A I still had the F free freedom.
I don't know. I think in your situation, I could see obviously it worked. So, what can you say? But I do think, Frank, look, it's a little different. When you're dealing with trade unions, which are mass organizations, community institutions like, you know, radio stations that encompass 200 people or 100 people, I think you have to lay down the law sometime that you just cannot allow. Particularly radio is funny. Some for some reason we get people sometimes, not all, who are just too full of themselves. Really, they're there because they're full of themselves. And that's problematic. That's problematic because they don't see a limit, you know, in what they say and what they do. And many of them trying to ape shock jocks and stuff like that. Wind up trying, you know, when Howard Stern does it, it can be disgusting, but at least you know a lot of people kind of get. But when somebody tries to copy that with, believe it or not, a lower cultural level than Mr. Stern, if there's such a thing, you can get some pretty strange stuff going on, you know? And I don't know. I don't think that our commons, you know, in England they talk about the commons, that is things that belong to everyone, and our public institutions, our unions, and our clubs, social clubs that people should, I don't think that they exist for individuals that don't know how to act, you know, to just come in and do their thing, fuck them, you know, I'm sorry. There has to be some decorum, some rules of engagement. You can't, you know, anything.
How? What? Do? How do we get A.W. away with it away with what? B. E. Because we don't get a lot of that. Well, we don't get a lot of people like that wanting to do show. Surprisingly, really. Because it's free to do it.
No, but you have a reputation.
Yeah.
I think you guys have a reputation. And it's a little. And then also, the shock jock types don't like internet. Because they don't think that, you know, people listen to internet. They don't know.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't.
Yeah.
Look at this. Look at this. Let's talk about limits. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
At a program council meeting at KPFA, myself and many other people organized to push for Bill Mandel to have a program again. And this is so ugly, I don't know if I halfway don't want to talk about it publicly, but I guess maybe there's something to be learned here. This is why you have to have limits. In the meeting, there's a couple of things went on that just off the map in terms of the vote went in the way that I was happy that it went. Okay, they voted to take Bill's program. Now, it winds up some of these other guys wanted to have a program, and thus they felt that their hopes of getting a program were being dashed in some way. I'm not really clear. This disturbed young man, not that young, old enough to know better as far as I'm concerned, started throwing chairs in the meeting. He threw 5 chairs in rage, you know, in the meeting, one of which, you know, tapped a friend of mine named Joe on the leg. I'm sorry. No.
There
must be limits.
Is a T O totally different thing.
Okay, good. Very good. We're marching together.
And I would kick that person out, and they would never have a show.
Well, okay, so boom, thank you. So glad to be marching next to you on that. Now, there was something that happened, though, that I thought was worse. If it could be worse. I mean, that shows you how bad these KPFA mean. During the discussion about the reaccepting Bill Mandel as, I forget the name of his program. Damn it. Speaking My Mind or something one of these
Speaking 2P Power.
That's the name of his book. That's the name of his book. The show is a little different. Show is slightly different. But here's, they call Bill a racist. Some of these little shits, they like to call themselves people of color. Who is this? Amelia Gonzalez and Devro. Called Bill Mandel, my friend and mentor, a racist. That actually drove me up the wall even more than the acting out and throwing the fucking chairs. Because it's a misuse of a struggle that I participated in for most of my adult life. And, you know, people died, you understand, fighting against real racism and segregation. And when you see a limousine liberal like Gonzalez or this other cat calling somebody, these people ain't never been on a picket line. They've never been arrested in the name of the people. Nothing. And for them to call Bill Mandel a man of that quality, a racist because he happens to be white and they happen to covet the little half an hour that they gave him. I went off. I went off when I heard about that. No, because, I'm sorry, who would he, just because you black, don't give you some license to go around vomiting on folks, as I said. So that I don't go along with that.
Is why I am a
dictator.
Dictator.
I knew you were going to say that. I anticipated it. Well, no, listen, what did I say? What did I say? I said, maybe it's good. But also, Frank, I'm going to tell you something. You are a little different from the average citizen, my friend. Yeah, you are.
I L I K N. I know I would get J K I would get killed at KPFA.
Oh, I don't know, man. You know what? Actually, I'm going to bring Leroy. I'm going to talk to old Leroy.
But I am available.
No, look, I tell you what, Leroy does surprisingly well. Leroy goes in there, writes in for his studio time and everything, and I'm proud of him. I think he does quite well, actually.
B A R Barb Golden, she's had the show on KPFA forever. Barb Golden's Crack of Dawn. She's on like midnight till 3 a.m. Once a month now. She used to be a weekly show. And Frank, we've known her since the 70s somewhere. And ever since then, Frank's been a regular guest on her show. And often yearly, sometimes twice a year. And she recently submitted one of her shows for some panel to quality review panel on KPFA.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't submit a show of Frank. It was somebody else, a guest. But the review panel gave her glowing reviews, and one of the reviewers said he thought one of the values of her show was that she has Frank on as a guest regularly.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. That's good. We are are you rubbing, running out of time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, with this show, too.
Yeah. No, no, I know the, I know he's referring to. Because I don't even have a watch on.
Yeah, we could, we should do this again.
Oh, we will. Most sure. We will. We will. But I just keep in mind there must be limits. When you work with large groups of people, you need some guidelines, rules, or limits of some sort. Because you would not believe some of the things that people are capable of coming up with, the sociopathic behavior that our fellow Americans are capable of. It'll blow your mind. And let me tell you, you placing yourself around some sanity in here. I see good people. And you, when you go out in the public, you get them all. You know, you get the what's it, Jack the Ripper and all the rest of them.
E. Hey. I. P. A. N. Panhandled for years. Frank panhandled in New York and in San Francisco. So he was out there meeting people.
Oh, so yeah, you met some of the prize, some of these prize cases I was talking about, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And that A T T E N D E attendant. Oh, and the guy who pulled the gun on you. So you've had your share, plenty of the kind of people that Gerald was talking about.
Frank, it's getting worse. I know it's hard to believe. It's actually getting worse.
Yes. Yes.
In terms of people's behavior. Oh, God.
Okay. So,
look. So,
we got to wrap, right?
All right.
All right. We got to wrap.
But it was good. It was good talking to you, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to get my butt on out of here.
L. Wait, don't get up yet. L-U-L-I. Listen to Slave Revolt Radio on Lover every week. And also Gerald's new... Well, Gerald has three shows on Lover, right? So Slave Revolt Radio. Check the Lover schedule. And what's the new show? Radical Perspectives.
And the
Dubmaster.
All right. So you know what? I'm gonna when we wrap, I say something to Mike.
Okay. All right. So that's it. Bye bye.
Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah, Mike. You know what? I want to give you.